Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here with you.
Good to be
Sunday
back
evening.
Here live and
in person.
In person. And not coming by satellite from somewhere or other.
Yeah, no cell phones, no digital phones, no waveforms.
That's right.
Lengths. And
yeah. And boy, we're in an exciting time now because we're coming up on Pentecost.
We are.
In 2 short weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, a little less than 2 short weeks since it's already Sunday evening.
Right.
And
actually, a week.
Woo. What an exciting time. We're still counting the Omer.
I was just going to ask you if you still count the Omer.
No, I keep forgetting.
Last week you said you forgot.
I keep forgetting. I just look at the calendar and say, oh, tomorrow's Pentecost. But anyway, if you are counting the Omer, that's good. If you don't know what we're talking about, then we don't have time to go over all that again.
Listen to last week's show.
Yeah, but anyway, today we thought we should talk about the ascension of the Lord. We haven't talked about that for quite a while.
No, we haven't, since it was Ascension Thursday a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But sometimes we celebrate it on Sunday.
Yeah. And we know that was really kind of exciting time because it really, when you think about it, it's kind of set the scene for Pentecost, which was going to be like, 9 days later.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it really kind of changes the whole tone of the disciples' ministry. They went from, hanging around with Jesus to experiencing him after the resurrection to all of a sudden he was gone.
Yeah.
In kind of an exciting way they weren't really expecting.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't, because he rose from the dead. He appeared to them for 40 days. And then, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
In case you don't know the story, I don't want to give it away. So,
if you don't know the story, you're going to have to definitely sit down with us so we can give you some instructions.
All right. So,
maybe we should read this passage first.
From the Acts of the Apostles?
Yes.
Dr.
Very
Luke.
Beginning of it. Dr. Luke.
Dr. Luke. Dr.
He was
Luke.
Busy writing.
Yeah, he was. Okay, so we're going to just dive right into this. We're not going to have like a whole first segment explanation.
No, we're going to dive right into it.
Goodness. Wow. All right. Now that everybody's recovering from shock. All right. The promise of the Spirit. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs, after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky, as he was going, suddenly, two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away.
Woo.
Wow.
That's pretty neat. I mean, can you just picture these guys just kind of standing there going, oh, did we just see that happen? How did he do that?
Where'd he go?
Where'd he go?
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, the book of Acts, which, of course, as you all know, I hope, was written by Luke.
It was? It was.
Luke
it
wrote was. Luke and the book of Acts. And if you add up all the verses, he actually wrote more of the New Testament than Paul did. But Paul's still my hero, but Luke actually wrote more verses.
That's true.
So Acts is his, you know, he refers back to his gospel as his first book, my first book. So this is another book, and it begins with the ascension, which is pretty neat. Because, like I just alluded to, Jesus' earthly ministry is over now.
Right.
And he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
He left. Doesn't mean he's gone, but in his physical body walking around on the earth, they're not going to see that anymore.
Right.
You know, his ministry is kind of changing, if you want to use, you know, that kind of word that doesn't quite describe it. But it's a pretty amazing event. And the one thing I never can figure out, no matter how many years I study the Bible, is sometimes in, especially the Old Testament, you can have huge passages to describe something that seems so unimportant and boring. But here you have this amazing event, and it's really described in just a few words. Very short.
It is. I mean, if you think about it, there's only 11, you know, sentences here. Or verses. And like you're saying, there's some things that are covered very in depth. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like when Jesus meets the two guys on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
You know, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them everything that pertained to him in the scriptures. Can you go on? Can you give us some inkling as to what that is? Just tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not spelled out. It's not given. So.
Yeah. Not a lot of detail and not a lot of passage, not a lot of words to describe it.
No.
But here he was going back to where he was before.
Right.
And now you have, and again, I always like to point out, you have his body, which is a real human body, ascending up from the earth. This is from the top of the Mount of Olives, ascending up from the earth, the same body that had been conceived, developed, grew up, walked on the earth for 33 years, hung around with these guys for 3 years, was crucified, suffered death, and was buried, as it says in the Nicene Creed, mm-hmm. because this is a real human body that suffered death and was buried,
right?
Then rose again, was seen by people, as we've pointed out in this, you know, Paul points out that, you know, 500 people saw him at one time.
Yeah.
That now that same body ascends into heaven back to the glory that he had before.
Right.
And he had told them that in order for the Spirit to come, he had to leave.
Right.
You know, you should be happy I'm going because now the Spirit's going to come.
Yeah.
Well, they probably weren't really happy he was going, but.
I don't think they really understood it.
Yeah. And it's kind of neat because he tells them again here, just wait here. Don't try to do anything. Just wait here till the Spirit comes because it's only going to be a few more days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he would tell them that he has to ascend to the Father or else the Holy Spirit cannot come.
Yes.
So what's interesting is as he is, he ordered them to stay there and pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for where that's at.
Yeah.
But when he ascends at a moment, you know, just like almost like at a moment's notice without them even realizing that that's going to take place. Because what are they asking him right before he goes? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?
Yeah.
That's
they were still hepped up about that.
they were still hepped up about that. And that was their, you know, it's interesting that even after all this time, he was with them. They were with him, I should say, for 3 years. They witnessed his crucifixion. They witnessed his death and burial. They witnessed his resurrection, or they saw him after the resurrection, I should say. But yet, And they've been with him for 40 days now.
Yeah.
And they want to know, Lord, is it now? Is it, are we going to, now is the kingdom of Israel going to be restored?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to get rid of?
Yeah, we've been waiting for this.
You know.
Get rid of these Romans. And
but he enjoins them while meeting with them. He enjoins them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Woo.
That just goes right over their, their heads. And that the first question they ask him is like, okay, that's great, but are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?
Yeah.
So as we were saying last week, they really don't understand this.
Yeah.
They don't really understand what he's talking about here.
Yeah. That's a good point, because John the Baptist, of course, said, I'm baptizing you with water, but this one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so when he tells these guys, you know, when this power comes on you, then you're going to be my witnesses. And the only thing on their mind is, hey, you're going to restore the kingdom now?
Exactly. They're still thinking, you know, when we're baptized into Christ, and I was thinking about this when we were doing the show last week, when we're baptized into Christ, we're made a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're immersed into the waters of new life.
Ooh.
And they're, you know, when Jesus talks about putting new wine into an old wineskin, you can't pour new wine into an old wineskin because it'll burst.
Yeah.
You have to put new wine into a new wineskin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really what our rebirth in Christ is. It's giving us a new wineskin, if so to say.
Amen.
You know, because we're created anew in Christ.
Yeah.
We have a whole new identity. Ooh. In him.
Right.
Not prior to knowing him, because our identity is more prior to knowing Jesus Christ, our identity really doesn't mean much.
Right.
But our identity in him and through him means a whole lot, because that's our salvation.
Yeah. And our pathetic righteousness doesn't mean very much either.
No, it doesn't, because it only lasts for about a minute.
Yeah. You know, the other thing cool about this from a human experience is, you know, we always talk about signs and wonders. This is an amazing sign and an amazing wonder.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens while they're standing there looking at him, not only looking at him, but he's talking to them.
Yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden he starts, you know, lifting up off the earth, and it's happening right in front of them.
Yeah.
So they're witnesses to see it happen just as it's happening. I mean, he had just finished a sentence and it happens. He didn't say it's going to happen in a little while, or if you come back tomorrow, you're going to see something awesome. It just happens right as he says his last sentence. And, you know, he didn't just vanish either. You know, he could have just vanished and been back in heaven, and they would have said, wow, that was pretty cool. But he actually ascends, and they've always heard that he was going back to the Father. He was going to a place. They were going to be coming later. So now they actually see him leaving the earth. I mean, these guys must have been standing there with, like, really big eyes.
Really, really big eyes. I mean, you think about it. What you're saying is, he says he answered them. After they ask him the question about restoring the kingdom of Israel, he answers them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it says, when he had said this, he starts ascending.
Yeah.
So he's telling him, the last thing he tells him is that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
he's giving him the Great Commission.
He's giving him the Great Commission, and that's the last thing he says to them.
Yeah.
And then he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, so they get the message to wait here. Wait for the promise of the Father about what you've heard me speak, because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
John baptized in water. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then you're going to be my witnesses.
In just a few days.
In just a few days. And then he's gone.
Yeah.
And so they're looking up at the sky, and they're, you know, I mean, to even think about to think about it, like how it actually happened, it has to be, it would be pretty awesome to see, but it would also be pretty incredible. You know, yeah. I mean, think about it.
And they keep staring up. I mean, they're still looking at the sky because, after all, they didn't know. Not only were they amazed by this, but they were probably wondering, like, what's going to happen next?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Which is pretty neat. And then, of course, you know, these angels come around and they're...
Well, you know, God probably realized, they're stuck again.
I wonder if these are the same two that talked with the women who went to the tomb on resurrection morning.
But, you never know.
But you know, he's like barely been out of sight for a few seconds or a minute or so when there's already two angels there talking to the apostles.
Yeah.
You know, kind of ministering to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Two other witnesses. Who said, hey, you know what? Instead of standing here looking up at the sky, you got work to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the angels, you know, angels don't give any messages on their own.
Right.
The exactly. message they give them is from God.
Yeah.
This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. He's going to come down.
The same way he went up.
The same way he went up.
Yeah.
You know, on heaven's escalator, I guess.
Although it isn't going to be a secret when that happens.
No. And we might be looking up at the sky going,
ooh. And there'll be speechless. A really loud shofar blowing.
Yeah. Speechless, just like the apostles were when he first ascended.
Yeah. And when these angels who were, you know, as I say, are also witnesses, really prove to these apostles that there's really a world beyond this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their Lord and Master now disappearing into the clouds, two beings from heaven saying, well, don't just stand here looking at the sky. He's gonna come back. They knew these angels were from there.
Yeah.
And they also knew that Jesus departing like this had to be a transition into something new.
Yeah.
A different ministry.
Yeah.
And for them, it was going to be hugely new.
Yeah.
Even though, like you were saying, they're going to wait for the Spirit to come in just a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to experience ministry in a totally different way than they did before.
Yeah.
In a very few days. I mean, at this point, they haven't really changed that much other than being amazed.
Right.
But we don't want to talk about Pentecost now, but I think it's cute too that the angels call them men of Galilee. I think that's kind of neat. You know, it kind of reminds them of their origins.
Yeah.
You know, they're like simple, backwoods, uneducated kind of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, stop looking at the sky and let's get going here. Ooh, it's the first segment already.
It is.
Ooh, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Let God rise. Rise, let God rise. rejoiced before him.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Ooh.
Ooh, here we are talking about the ascension, and the God of Rise sound goes right along with that.
It does.
And I was just telling Steve as the break was ending, I want to read a passage from the book of Daniel. We don't talk about Daniel that much.
No, we don't.
I kind of like Daniel. But Daniel chapter 7:13 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall never be destroyed. So this is clearly one of the great messianic prophecies. And so now this earthly idea of Jesus of Nazareth walking around and hanging out with the apostles and eating together and saying, you know, I'm tired now. I had enough for today. I'm going to go to sleep. And, you know, all these sort of human things that he would have done. Now, all of a sudden, he's presented before the Ancient of Days in a very real way. He's presented before the Father and takes a seat at the right hand. He sits, you know, and it's important, of course, to understand the concept of he sits because the work is over.
Yeah.
He sits, you know, you don't generally, of course, now in our day, you know, a lot of people work while they're sitting, but in this day, you didn't work while you were sitting.
Yeah. You were standing upright when you were working.
Yeah. You were working. And interestingly too, when Stephen, not you, but the other one.
Oh, okay.
Was being stoned, and he said, you know, he saw Jesus stand up from his seat next to the Father and come and receive his spirit.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. But, you know, that verse from Daniel I really love, and the fact that these two angels came and kind of confirmed all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is now glorified, and as he said before, the Spirit's not going to come until the Son has been glorified.
Right.
Which now he has been.
Right. Well, it goes to what we were saying last week, too, that, you know, Jesus is explaining this to his apostles, and they, you know, you can see that they don't understand, and rightfully so, because they weren't there with Jesus when he was in the glory with God before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it. They didn't understand it for the 3 years they were walking with him. They didn't understand it for the 40 days they walked with him after his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand it now. Because he's talking to them about, he's getting them ready to, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't know what that means, no. But you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power and real power. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to receive courage and strength. And you're going to receive fortitude that you're going to go out and preach unashamedly of the gospel. You're going to preach with boldness, and my spirit's going to be upon you.
Yes.
And you're going to do the will of the Father. You're going to bring in a harvest for the kingdom of heaven. You're going to bring in a harvest of souls. And so he's getting them ready for that. And they don't understand that yet because they're still thinking that he's, you know, their idea of Messiah was a one who was going to restore the kingdom of Israel, the house of David on earth. And Jesus, obviously, Jesus is trying to tell them that's not going to happen here.
Yeah.
That's not God's plan.
Yeah. That's an excellent idea. And the other thing, too, I was thinking, I wanted to mention about that was that it says that he disappeared in a cloud.
Yeah.
You know, we knew when the people were in the wilderness, they had the cloud that followed them, that led them, I should say.
Right.
And then, you know, when the temple was built, the cloud would periodically appear that was the physical presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were at the Mount of the Transfiguration, you know, the cloud overshadowed them and they heard the Father's voice. And now the Son, the Messiah, disappears into a cloud, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. Like back into the Father's
embrace. Back into the glory.
Yeah. The glory cloud.
Yeah.
Ooh. Woo. Ooh. Because when the Israelites were being led through the desert, God would shield them as a cloud by day, by a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Yeah.
Woo.
Wow. So.
And we're going to be in there too, because, you know, Paul says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I mean, we're not the glory cloud, but.
Right.
There's going to be witnesses of people that have been saved that are kind of a cloud as well.
Yeah. Woo. People that we don't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Through all of the time that has passed, how many witnesses there are.
Ooh, yeah.
Nameless witnesses.
Yes. Hundreds of millions.
Yeah. So, Jesus.
We're going to get to meet them all.
We will.
Boy, that's going to be a while. Oh, no, there's no time.
we won't even realize how long it's taking.
Maybe some of them have listened to the radio show. I don't know.
we'll just be talking one to another and just, you know, like, hey, there you are there.
They'll say, hey, are you the guys with the radio show?
yeah, we are. And Paul will come up and go, hey guys, no boasting over here. I've done more work than all of you.
All of you.
Just saying. But not me, by the grace of God.
That's right.
So, but Jesus.
We have a lot of fun doing this show.
We do. This is fun. But it's serious business, too.
Serious business.
Let's get serious. But Jesus tells them something extremely important, and that is to wait here.
Mm-hmm.
Wait in Jerusalem. Peter, do not go on your own. Don't go on a tangent on your own.
Don't say anything
you know, like in the past. No, he didn't say that to him. At least it's not recorded in scripture. We don't know if he did or not, but it wasn't recorded in scripture. But he does. He tells them to wait here until the Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah.
Now, he says in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how many, you know, in a few days, that's not specifically a number. But wait, they need to be obedient to Jesus' command here so that God's plan, the coming of the promise of the Father, comes as it's supposed to.
Yes.
And that they're ready for it.
Yeah.
So he tells them to pray. So, you know, in any ministry, prayer is essential.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not praying, you know, even if you don't, you know, whether you have a ministry or not, you need to pray if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ so that you can know what God's actually calling you to do.
Yes, exactly.
You know, whether you have a radio show or not, or whether you have a ministry like One of Messiah or any of that, you know, you need to pray because God's plan for your life is important in his plan of salvation and his plan for, you know, he created everybody for a purpose and a reason.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I think too that a good point to follow up what you're just saying is he didn't say to them, I want you guys to go back to the upper room and make a plan. I want you guys to like figure this out. You know, I've been with you 3 years.
Have some meetings.
So now have a meeting, get some subcommittees going
yes.
and then see if you can get organized. And over the next 9 days or so, I'm sure you'll have a plan.
Develop a mission statement.
No, he says, just be quiet, go to the room, and pray until the Spirit comes.
Yeah.
Don't try to do anything on your own.
So they didn't develop a subcommittee or any mission statements?
None.
They didn't make any...
No handouts.
No brochures or flyers?
No handouts, no PowerPoints.
Wow.
Yeah, no books.
Man.
Just wait for the Spirit.
We get busy with a lot of busy work.
Boy, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Preparation is good, but mm-hmm. prayerful preparation is essential.
Yeah.
Because, you can try and do something on your own, and you're humanly trying to build the house. But if God's mm-hmm. building the house, it's going to get built.
Yeah, that's right.
If I'm laboring, if God's not building the house, I'm laboring in vain.
In vain. Exactly. Yeah. How many ministries are built just in vain?
Yeah. So, how many times I can even think of my own life, how many times I've prayed about something and I think about it on my own and then I ask God for help with it and he gives me what I'm supposed to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that didn't take too long.
Yeah.
So it really is. And it's, last week, and I want to go back to John 14 for one second, because Jesus tells them something very important. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith in me also. He asked them, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And that word believe, he's asking them to believe in him.
Mm.
Not to believe what he's saying, but to believe in him,
mm-hmm.
to trust in him mm. for all their provisions.
Mm.
And, I was at a retreat, this was about 17 years ago. And the retreat master, he said, I'm going to ask you three questions. What is faith? What is a faith? And what does it mean to believe in someone?
Mm.
And everybody thought, I'm like, faith, that's... that's believing in something you can't see or mm-hmm. totally explain or understand. A faith is a system of beliefs that people adhere to, mm-hmm. right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to believe in? Do I trust God with my entire life? Not to believe that he exists, but to believe in his provision for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a whole, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
When we profess the creed, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I don't just believe in his existence that he created heaven and earth, but do I believe in him
mm.
who gave his only son mm-hmm. as a ransom for me? Do I believe that he's going to take care of me in my own life since he gave the life of his son?
Mm.
And it was like,
wow,
I don't do that at all. So it was a real pivotal.
Very powerful.
Yeah, it was a real pivotal point in our early formation of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and coming back to the Lord, because it had only been about 2 years since all that took place. But it made a huge difference as far as how I started looking at things and understanding, really trusting God.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Wow, that's great. And this whole, Jesus had told them so many things while he was physically with them. One of the things, he always indicated he was going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And now these two heavenly witnesses, these two angels, now confirm that. They say he's going to be coming back just like you saw him leave.
Yeah.
In the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be the same body.
Right.
Coming back. It's going to be a little different because he's going to come in glory and he's going to come to judge.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being the suffering servant who's now been glorified, it's going to be the king of the universe who's coming to judge the world.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little different, but it's not another being. It's the same Jesus that they knew,
mm-hmm.
the same physical body that they knew.
Right.
And when he was born, angels announced his birth. And now when he's leaving, angels are announcing he's going to come back.
Exactly.
Which is pretty neat. And, his, you know, the Bible says we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him.
Yeah.
We're going to be caught up in the clouds, essentially. He disappeared into a cloud. We're going to be caught up into the cloud. And, you know, in the Revelation and some other places, it says we should, and we should be encouraged by that, because one of the things we should be encouraged by is that he is coming back. He is coming back as not only part of the plan of salvation, but as the final fulfillment of establishing the kingdom. And so these angels, these angelic announcers, confirmed to these guys, just like they told the shepherds that that Messiah had been born, now he tells these guys, Messiah's coming back just like you saw him leave.
Yeah. That's a good, Yeah. I mean, God sent, that's a good analysis, because God sent the angels to announce to the shepherds the birth of Messiah, that they would go and find him. And they look on in wonder and amazement when they behold the newborn king. You know, they come to the manger and they see him and they prostrate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But then, they're also telling them that he's going to return in the same way, just as you saw here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come back just the same way.
Mm.
I mean, that's going to be awesome.
Woo.
And we know about the shofar blast.
Hope it's today. Yeah, there's going to be a shofar blast that's going to be, I mean, everybody in the world's going to hear it. Everybody's going to see it happening.
Do you remember, Don Seif, shofar player that would play with Paul.
Oh, Walker. Yeah, sure. Shofar guy.
Yeah, shofar guy. He would, do you remember the story he would tell about when he was in an airport and they made him,
yes.
they wanted to know what this was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
he's like, this is going to really make a loud sound. So the one agent wanted to, you know, and she goes, okay. So he starts blowing the shofar and he said, people started raising their hands.
Yeah.
And there was one lady that was jumping up once the shofar stopped and, because she thought she got left behind. That's really cute.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. he's a real quiet guy, but he can sure blow that shofar.
Oh yeah, very anointed. Very anointed.
Yeah, he pointed out that he had never done it until he saw somebody doing it and said, is that really hard to do? And the guy said, oh, yeah, you know, you got to really. So I picked it up and just did it.
Just played it.
Yeah, kind of like when I picked up a guitar for the first time.
Oh, that McPherson you got is awesome.
I said to Steve, is this hard to play a guitar? And he goes, well, you know, you got to practice. But I just took it and started playing.
Yeah, I told you, look, I took lessons for like 40 years. And,
yeah.
And you just started playing. I'm like, oh, geez.
I mean, I started playing. I mean, it didn't sound very good, but I started playing.
Oh.
But that's another story. That's not one of my gifts.
Oh,
so
my.
As we're talking about these apostles and their humanity and how they didn't get what was going on and they were saying things that were weird, when these angels said he's coming back and they had just heard Jesus say, don't leave the city, wait for the Spirit, wait for the promise of the Father, I think when they left the Mount of Olives and started walking away, they were already changed in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of got what you might call sobered up because now they said, whoa, he's gone.
Yeah.
We've been relying on being with him for the last 3 years. And when we saw him die and then we remembered that he said he was going to rise and then we saw him risen mm-hmm. and then we had interactions with him after he had risen.
Yeah.
And up at the Sea of Galilee, he even made us breakfast one morning with some fish and some toast.
Yeah.
But now he's left.
You know, and think about, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about how After his crucifixion, they were hiding.
Yeah.
They didn't know. I mean, their whole world was turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They were defeated.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he reappears to them after his resurrection, he talks to them, he speaks to them, and they see him. And so they're slow to believe that it's actually the Lord.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, don't be slow of heart.
Yes.
And so they had to have this profound joy that he was back.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone again.
Mm-hmm.
So within a matter of 40 days, they find him. Well, they didn't find him, but he comes back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now he's gone again.
Yeah.
You know, what an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. And, they had to think about the fact that he said he was leaving.
Yeah.
But it's a second break already.
It is.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain. You ascended to heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth to reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice, you'll reign out your fire.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's one of my favorite songs.
That's an awesome song.
Time.
It really fits the ascension.
Yeah.
Since he
it
says,
really does.
Yeah. You ascended to heaven. Evermore will reign.
Yeah.
And the angels will cry.
Woo.
Woo. Man.
And
awesome.
It gives you the sense, too, you know, with A Line of Judah is, of course, one of his titles. It's one of the great messianic titles. You don't hear that much anymore. I mean, you don't hear that much in churches,
but
Line of Judah, you know, and we tend to emphasize the meek and mild Jesus, but he's also a lion.
Yeah.
He's a lion and a lamb. That reminds me of another song.
The Lion.
I won't sing it, but it reminds me of another song.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So here they are. So now, man, you talk about having an interesting day. So as they're walking away from this site, and I mean, presumably the angels disappear because, well, I just thought of something else, which I didn't have in my notes. But, you know, in when we talked about Peter going to Cornelius' house and the angel came to Cornelius' house and says, you have to go get Peter. And he has to come and tell you some stuff.
Yeah.
And he tells them where Peter is and so forth. And here, these two angels, after Jesus has told them, you stay in the city, you wait for the Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses. These two angels don't say, hey, don't worry, you guys. We're going to stay with you. And then, you know, some of our colleagues might be popping in once in a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to help, you do this evangelization thing. No, the angels don't help with the evangelization thing.
No.
It's like, the men, and of course later women as well, but the humans are going to do this.
Yeah.
And which I think is amazing because we're included in the plan of evangelizing, of proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the good news, despite our weaknesses and our failings. And just like he didn't say, you guys come up with a plan and, you know, like your boss might say, okay, I want you guys to sit down, and in 9 days, I want to see a finished plan. he says, don't try to make any plans. Just go and pray and wait.
That's their plan. Just pray and wait.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah. And the angels don't say they're going to help them out with this. Mm-mm. They're just saying, okay, guys, you saw him leave. He's coming back the same way. So they're walking away thinking, man, what a day we've had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, we really liked hanging around with him and having him teach us, and we saw the signs and wonders, and we really loved being in this ministry with him, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like when he died and then we thought, oh, he came back. Now he's gone. And now he tells us to wait here because something else is going to happen.
You have to wonder if they were wondering if he was, you know, was he going to come back?
Yeah, like a few days later.
You don't really know. You really, really don't know.
Yeah.
What they were thinking.
Yeah.
But I think one thing's for certain, they had a very interesting day, as you said.
It's
just, you know, a day they'll never forget.
When they went to sleep that night, they probably laid in the bed going, oh, man, I can't believe all this.
Wow. What's next?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, there's never a dull day when you're ministering for the Lord.
Yeah. I used to think Christians were so boring when I was a heathen.
Yeah.
I used to think they're the most boring people on earth.
Yeah.
I've had so much more fun as a believer.
Like you were telling me about a Holy Spirit encounter you had a couple of days ago when you were on your morning commute to, or when
oh,
you stopped,
yeah.
you, when you stopped
yeah, yeah, yeah,
to
yeah,
work.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden you're in the moment and you're talking about the Lord and boom, you're witnessing.
And in my humanity, I was saying, I got to go in and out of here. I got to get back to the office really quick.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm in this, you know, 20, 30 minute conversation with this young woman who says, wow, I can't believe you're telling me this because I've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I left there saying, boy, you know, he's always got a plan. And I felt like, you know, Peter, I'm just kind of bumbling around and all of a sudden, but at least I realized I was supposed to be there.
Yeah. You know, when it happens, it's like, you're usually rushed and you're going, okay. I got to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's never usually in our time frame. It's always usually like outside of it and we go, oh, okay. It's a Holy Spirit moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even, you know, I brought up a good point too a minute ago when you said they didn't, for all they knew, he was going to come back in a few days, or he was going to come back, you know, 2 weeks.
Right.
Or, you know, certainly in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get the sense from these early guys, well, you know, he's coming within our lifetime, so.
Right. Yeah. Right. You do. Yeah. They really did believe that he was going to be returning in their lifetime. Yeah.
And here we are all these years later saying he's going to come back any minute. I hope it's today.
They'd be pretty old by now.
Yeah.
But they live forever because they're risen with the Lord.
Oh, boy. Woo. They're in the cloud.
Amen.
Cloud of witnesses.
See, we think the cloud is a new invention. Like the cloud, but it's not. See,
that's right.
Tablets, clouds. God had it a long time ago.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the witnesses that went before us that you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. you know, we're doing what they did just at a different time.
Exactly.
And we're running the race now. They already ran the race.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're done running our race, they're all going to meet us at the finish line, giving us high fives.
Yeah.
Going, hey, I ran the race in 13:02, but you guys did an awesome job in 2017. But that's going to be pretty neat, too.
Well, you know, it's part of what, when Jesus talks about the tenant farmer? Where, you know, there's a wage given and there's some that are brought in at 11 o'clock, some are brought in at 3 o'clock, some are brought in at the end of the day.
Workers in the vineyard,
Yeah, you know. We might be the end of the day. We might be, you know, the 11 o'clock people. We might be the 10 o'clock people. We really don't know.
We don't know. We might be the 4:30 people.
We don't know. Yeah. It's important that we do the work.
Whew. The show's over already.
It is.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as we approach the Feast of Pentecost, that you too would pray and wait for the Holy Spirit to come and receive power from on high to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.